Yes. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. We're going to continue our study of Isaiah, that major prophet. Isaiah, who realized that he was not all that he needed to be. In the year that King Uzziah died, he saw the Lord. He saw the Lord lifted up. And he saw so many things that began the anatomy of his conversion. Isaiah went on to talk about many and great sundry of things, prophesying that the Messiah would come. He would come in the form of a little baby outside of Bethlehem, born to a young mother that wasn't even yet consummated a marriage. He would be born to a virgin. And Isaiah went on to explain to us that that baby that was really, as John testified, was the Word, and that that baby was the Word made flesh, and we beheld the glory of the Father, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Then Isaiah went on to say, but this same baby who would grow up, who did no wrong, who healed the sick, and who made the lame walk, and who instructed a brother of 38 years to get up off his pallet and live, this same brother would go to the cross and die for your sins and my sins, because Isaiah said it like this. It wasn't the year that King Uzziah died, but Isaiah says Uzziah is already dead. But out there on Calvary, outside of the east gate of Jerusalem, there is the Savior, the Christ, who was wounded for your transgression. He's bruised for your iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And Isaiah went on to say, this same Christ is coming back, and for 2 weeks now, we've dealt with the eschatological events that surround Christ coming back. We've talked about eschatology, and we're talking about the thousand-year reign. We talked about peace with God and the peace in the kingdom, and we talked about how the holy mountain would look, and we're all excited, but you know, when you jump up real high, you got to come down sometimes. You know, the thousand-year reign has not yet appeared, and we don't know, because Jesus himself declared that no man knoweth the hour, the day, when he shall come. But when he comes, the trump shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And Jesus will come with a heavenly host, and those bodies that are in the grave will meet a one-on-one correlation with the body to spirit, and we will be with him. And then Jesus will sit down on a physical throne. Oh, man, that's a lot of eschatology. That's a lot. I haven't seen anything like that yet. You know, I haven't seen the Jews returning to fulfill the Palestinian covenant. You know, and I know the Davidic covenant hasn't been that. The Davidic, Lord, when are you going to fulfill the Davidic covenant? Well, it'll be in that thousand-year reign. Well, you know, that's a lot to worry about. But you know what? If I got all that down, Isaiah tells me this morning, if you got all of that down, if you got all that eschatology down, you still got to go on living. You know what's going to happen 1,000, 2,000, 10,000, 50,000 years from now. But what about now? And that's what we're going to talk. Isaiah pauses in the 40th chapter of Isaiah. He begins to talk about, but you got to go on living. You got saved, but you've been saved from the penalty of death, and you're being saved from the power of sin. And he's talked about glorification, talked about what it's going to be like when we all get to heaven. He says, you still got to live. You got to live, and the reality is, as long as you're not with Christ in his heavenly rule, as long as you're not with Christ, him ruling on this earth, you're going to have problems. And Isaiah says, but I know one who is a problem solver. Yeah, yeah. He is the God of all comfort. Isaiah stops by to tell us this morning, there ain't nothing in this world that God can't handle. We've been talking about the sovereignty of God, and Isaiah says, yeah, he's sovereign in the future. He's been sovereign in the past, but he's sovereign right now. Did I tell anybody that God is sovereign right now? In other words, if he's sovereign and he's in control of everything, why are you worrying your fool head on? Why are you worrying about the smallest of things? And that's what they are. As a matter of fact, God views us as grasshoppers. Isaiah said it here today. So if we're grasshoppers, then we must have the problems of little old grasshoppers. If he views us as something smaller than a bird, and the birds fly around and they don't have no issues, nobody addresses them, they have all the food and that they want, they have all the water that they can want, when they ain't got any, they'll come to your and eat up your good grass, hey, they're just taking care. And what Isaiah tells us this morning, that God is a God of comfort, and that today it's a foundational thing. There's peace in the mountain. But Isaiah says, let me just remind you of who I'm talking about. And today we're going to talk about sovereign God and his power as creator. And then we'll talk about the sovereign God who is a sustainer. As a creator, he made us. As a sustainer, he cares for us. And that's what's going to happen, is he's going to have to care for us. And we're going to see today what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Over in the 40th chapter, beginning with the 21st, and we're going to look at through 31. And if we finish early, that's good. And if we don't, that'll be good too. The choir can go on, start singing, and we'll still be here. But in the 40th chapter, someone please give me some context by reading verse 1 of the 40th chapter. Just verse 1.
Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth?
That's a verse 1? That's all right. Sister Mills, that's all right. That's all right. Verse 1. Because I told you I don't ever get the numbers right, I think I want one this time. Sister Mills, right quick. 1 and 2, if you would.
Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed and that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for her sin.
All right. Now, it sets up the scenario, Brahmat, that sin is a devastating thing. And much, in reading those first two verses there, Sister Mills, I see that God says, your sins have already been paid for. I took care of it. And he says, the reason why you are having issues is sin. Do y'all know if there was no sin, we wouldn't have any issues? Let that salivate, marinate for a minute. No sin, no suffering. No sin, no suffering. But there is sin, and therefore you suffer. But the God of the universe says, comfort, comfort. I've already paid for it. You don't have to go on hurting. There's a balm in Gilead that will heal the sin sick. So there is a balm, and that balm is God himself. He will put on the salve, the ointment that relieves every bit of pain that you have. And he starts that off in verse 1 of chapter 40. And he goes on for 11 verses telling us how God is a God of comfort. And as in any class, I am not deluded into believing that all of y'all have my, that I have all of y'all's full attention. Because if God speaks and people don't pay attention, who am I? And I know they were not paying attention because he's been talking. God does not stop talking. From the time that he spoke, he just kept on speaking. He speaks, but do we listen? Now, Dr. B, verse 21, the printed text says what? Have you not heard? Have you not known? Don't you understand? And guess what? These are in what in grammar call rhetorical questions. I don't want you to answer not a word. Because you know you've been told. I told you. I know you understand. Because I haven't made you that dense. I've made you with a perfect mind. You understand that I'm God. That's all he's saying here. He's saying you don't have to understand anything about what you're going through. All you got to know is that I am God. And how easily we forget that. In times of trouble, we forget that God is still God. And Isaiah says, yes, I've taken you on this high about what's going to happen in the future, but let me address what's going to happen today. God is the God of the future, the past, and he's certainly the God of the present. That's all Isaiah's saying in 21. And he's saying that God is reminding us that he is God. And he says, don't you know from the foundations of the earth? Have you not understood from the very beginning who I am? Because if you knew who I am, you would never worry. You would never be as discomforted as you are. Because you would know I take care of you. Mm-hmm. And he says, but just in case you forgot, I, through Isaiah, am going to remind you that I am the creator. I'm the one that made you.
Yeah, yeah.
I am the one that made you. And you know what? David described it like this, and we did that in the other unit last month. David says that we are uniquely made, that God knows us individually. He knows the things that upset Fred don't necessarily bother me. But the things that just tear me up, Fred's just going tiptoeing through the tulips. But God says, no matter what your problem is, your problem is not too hard for me. Your depression, your disgust, your distrust is not too hard for me. Because I made you. And if I made you, then I know what to do for you. I know that you might need castor oil. See, Lay don't know nothing about that, Sister Plenty. You know, she came in the black drawer area, 666. See, they probably said, well, what are they talking about up there? hey, Kata, they don't know nothing about no black drawer, 666, castor oil, with a little turpentine. And see, some of you can handle, see? Now, see, you see how some people are like, ew, castor oil. Let me tell you one thing. As soon as the coolness came in the Carolina air in the fall, I knew one thing, that this is a highly regulated body. It has always been. Give me the castor. Because just for a few minutes, matter of fact, you know, you can drink castor. Matter of fact, but I warn all you youngsters who don't know nothing about castor, don't ever take it with the stuff you love. Because I took it one time with chocolate milk and I ain't been able to drink it since. But I digress. I digress. Keep me on track, Harden. Keep me on track. Keep me on track. My whole point is God knows you. He knows what's good for you. He knows what to prescribe for you. Two people go to the doctor. They got the same symptoms, and he gives them two different things. Gives one this, one that. I don't understand that. Because he's tailoring it to your body. But if a doctor who knows nothing but the fact that you visit him and give him your $85 every time you visit him, or the God who made you. And that's what Isaiah is reminding. Listen to 22 to get a sense of the character of God, who God really is. Verse 22. Stop. Oh, y'all done heard this one. I'm coming at you. You remember all these crazy folk? You remember them in Basic Doctrine talking about, you know, is there God and did he make the world and all of that? Isaiah, you got to realize, y'all look in your books right quick. Look on the right-hand side of your page. Is there a date there? Yeah. Anybody see a date? Yeah. What's the date? No. I'm talking about that biblical date. Does anybody know what the year that is? That's 700 years before Christ. Before Christ, Isaiah said that God sitteth on the circle of the earth. Do you realize how many thousands of dollars and lives lost with fools running out there trying to prove that the world was round? When Isaiah had already said it. If Isaiah knew the world was round, come on now. God, through this prophetic utterance, tells us that the world was round. Here come Christopher Columbus, Magellan, and all the mother boys. We're going to prove that the earth is round. Oh, you're going to do it? What are you trying to prove? God already said it. Because he's sitting up there and he's observing everything. He has a perfect position to view the going on in the creation that he has made. It says what? And the what? Or like what? That what? God sits up there. He spread out a tent. He says, I've covered the inhabitants. You know, for a long time they've debated what that really means. But really, he's talking about the universe. That protective layer. That's what protects us. He made us, and he protects us. He gives us a dwelling place. That's what inhabitants do. They dwell. And he covers us so that the sun doesn't burn us up. The radiation from the sun doesn't affect us adversely. God's got this covering. The Creator covers. He has protected us. And the earth was round long before Magellan ever thought. All he had to do was go read his Bible and he would have said, guess what? I've proven that the earth is round. You believe in the Bible? And the queen would have said, oh yeah. Isabella would have said, oh yeah. Well, read right here, 40:22. And let's save some money. Verse 23 says, okay. First, the Creator says, don't worry about creation. I got this. Oh, y'all didn't know I was going there, did you? Oh, y'all know I wasn't going to let this liberal pablum puking philosophy go on about creation. God says, I got creation. I got creation covered. I made everything. And there ain't nothing that you can do to my everything. I made it. I own it. I'll be the one that says when it goes and when it comes. Okay? And he backs it up by saying, I bring all those rulers You're worried about this government and who's going to lead and who's going to charge you off into the future. And that they, he says, I'll bring all them to nothing. And all we have to do, now that's Isaiah looking forward. Let us look back. Do you realize how many great civilizations have come and gone since Isaiah wrote that? At the time, he was looking at the Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzar, and all the most powerful force on the earth. Anybody seen Nebuchadnezzar lately? Anybody seen Nebuchadnezzar lately? Anybody seen Alexander the Great lately? Anybody seen the Roman Empire lately? Because God has brought them to nothing. Later on, if you read, you'll read, Isaiah says, all governments are on the shoulder of God. I don't care what kind of government it is. God's got this thing. What you got to do is be content in the Creator. Not worried about where you are. Oh, if a certain person gets elected, I'm moving to Canada. Last time I checked, Canada's still on this planet. Europe's still on this planet. And tell me, where do you go? Why are things so bad here that you got to go somewhere? What you need to do is make it better. And you know how you make it better? You yield yourself, your service to God, and ask Him, God, make this thing better. Make it better for me. Or He'll tell you some things. But that should be your prayer instead of worrying about who's in the government, because God will bring all those governments down, to include the United States of America. We've only been around 200-some years. Oh, no. And it'll be no ever. He says he'll bring it. Because when you get too big for your britches, you don't ever get too big for God. Let me tell you. You don't get too big for the one who's in charge. Now, I don't know what kind of households y'all got and what kind of households y'all came out of. But the household I came out of, let me tell you something. I was 6 feet tall. My brother was 6 feet tall. My oldest brother was 6 feet tall. We were 12 years old, all of us. When we got 12, at 12 years old, we were all 6 feet tall. And we were raised primarily by a lady who was at the most 5'6", 5'7". Okay? But let me tell you one thing. She'll bring all that to naught. Because if you got too big for your britches, that what she do is take the britches off you. She beat the britches off you. Oh, they too big for you. You too big for them britches. And God does the exact same thing. God does the exact same thing. Don't worry about who's running this world. This world is not our home. God is in charge of this. He will take care. We worrying our fool self there, worrying about who's going to get elected. Anybody you elect going to be imperfect. Anybody you elect, God's going to bring the knob. Deteriorated. I can't understand why anybody would want to be, especially president of this company, country. All you got to do is look at Barack. 8 years. Look like me and him the same age. I don't need that kind of stress. I don't need it. But the bottom line is that we're like grasshoppers, and that God, since we're like grasshoppers, God has a different perspective. The people that are in charge now running the courts, making judgments on you, God's got it. Well, they ain't nothing but grasshoppers either. And God will bring them to naught. Then he says what? They what? All these people that you think are so big and bad, I tell you what, and I only want a certain few people to do this, because some of y'all way too young to do this. You think back at a time when you were a child and you lived a certain place, and it just seems so oppressive. Lord, how are we going to get out of this? I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't say this. Think about it, Trib. You're about the oldest thing in here. So you know, think about it. Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, up there in Ohio, who? Man, let me tell you one thing. He was ready. He knows. I mean, he could sing that song when we talking about nobody knows the trouble I've seen. When you praying, when you are praying that hymn or singing that hymn, God knows, and God can do something about it. Because the very folk who were in power when I was a child, Edmunds, they don't even exist. Somebody tell me where Bull Connor is. Somebody tell me. All those jackals, all those oppressors, he brought them to naught. And you know what? It's amazing. He says they won't be planted. See, we think they're firmly entrenched. We think that whoever's going to be there is firmly entrenched. No. We think Vladimir Putin is firmly entrenched. Well, I grew up under Khrushchev. Somebody tell me, where has Khrushchev gone? You see what I'm saying? God says they won't be there. You know why? Because God says, I ain't even got to raise my hand. Y'all remember that handkerchief of grace that he waved and that mighty hand of God that he raised? He says, all I got to do is blow on that. A blast from his nostril will take that which is seemingly entrenched, planted, sown deep, and blow it away. It'll exist no more. You know why? Because God is sovereign and he's almighty. God can do anything. There ain't nothing that God can't do. If it can't be done, you know it's not of God. Because God can do anything. God can do anything, including remove those obstacles out of your life. There are folk that are running. I'm just going to bring it home. There are folk running from church. Because they're worried about who's in certain leadership positions. Come on, I'm glad y'all showed up this morning. Do you realize how many folk have been in charge? Where? And you running. You need to start staying. Amen. As long as God lets you stay. Because when it gets too big for you and I, God will blow that away. And some of that stuff God will blow away just because you trying to hang on to it. God will blow it away. Man, but things were going so nice. Everything was well. Oh man, I tell you, we really got it going on. You know, we're doing this. Gone. And you got to remember that. There ain't nothing going to bother me because I'm going to ask God to do the same thing, but for a different reason that I always ask him to do for me. I say, breathe on me, breath of God. Yes. Now, that's a big commitment because he may breathe so hard he blow you away. But I know that my sustaining life comes from the breath of God. But I also know that life can be taken. And so I do the same thing when obstacles are in my way. Lord, remove this mountain. Just blow on it, Lord. Blow on this problem. Blow on this obstacle that has arisen in my life. And I'm telling you, he'll remove it. Because he's the creator. He says, there'll be nothing but a little like a stubble. You know how, like, when Tribble is shaving in the morning, when he shaved, it's gone. Stubble is gone. Verse 24 says, 25 says what?
To whom
you mean to tell me you're going to compare God with them little old idol? See, y'all remember that if there's a verse 21, there's 20 verses before it. And after that 11 that we just got, we read the first two, he started telling them how they used to make idols and, oh, they pray to the sun and melt silver and all that. You know, God is saying, you going to compare me to these idols? And you say, well, you know what, Brother Sneed, we don't have to worry about that now. Yes, you do. You know why? Because some of you got it so going on, you think that your current power, your current position, your current prestige, your current possessions, those are your idols. They're your idols. You think about those cars before you think about God. Hey, if the car didn't get clean, I'm going to church. I ain't going to stay home and say, I didn't wash my car. I know Edmonds, he don't be out there in that Beamer, and I can't show up with that. Oh, no. Those are your idols? You know, oh, my children are so precious to me. They got to do. Idols. And God asks us a question, folks. Do you compare those idols with God? Would you dare compare your little gods with the one triune holy God? God is telling us something about his character and his essence. Oh, God is wearing us out. He's reminding us of who he is and what he can do. God ain't playing with us. We're just playing with ourselves. We playing by ourselves. Because it's been proven, and we don't even play with each other now. No, people getting more and more selfish, hanging to themselves. People don't even visit no more, Sister Vanessa. They don't even visit. They used to visit. Used to always have somebody visit. And if they didn't visit, Terry, I could visit them. Have a little communion. But we've gotten selfish. Gone in our all the closed off world. We don't even want to talk to folk now. Used to have a phone call every now and then. Yeah, that's right. Used to get a call, Sister Iris. Yeah. You know, I remember one time it used to be war out, Fred. I get through teaching Sunday school, going to worship and all that, and I'm trying to get my Sunday afternoon groove on, and I'd get a call. Bruh Snee, what did you mean by such and such? Bruh, you know. Continue. Now, I hear it beeping, but I'll be saying, what is that, baby? She said, it's somebody trying to text you. Well, let me tell you one thing. I'll tell all of you this. If you got to text me, you don't want to talk to me. And if you don't want to talk to me, you don't want to communicate with me. I digress. Don't play with God. Don't think he's like nor your idols. Your little playthings. Yeah, yeah. God is holy. God is almighty. Yeah. He says, and I'm not equal. I'm without peer. You got peers, but God ain't got no peers. God is in a class all by himself. Okay? Now, let me show you something. Verse 26 says, talk. If you get verse 26 down of Isaiah 40, you've got it. You know who God is. God says, I'm the one that created these things. Them little idols that you run around, them little cars that you got, I'm created. I know y'all talking about Henry Ford invented. Oh, shut up. God was transporting people in and out of heaven long before Henry Ford was a glimmer in his, you know.
That's true.
God says, I made all these things. It is I. When you look up and you look at the stars, they're there because I put them there. And as a matter of fact, I'm like no other commander in the universe, because the term he uses is a military term. That host there gives you the impression of army. The stars are armies. They're his troops. And he says, I know every one of them. I put them there. I know my troops, and they faileth not. And see, prior to this time, in Isaiah's age, they looked up every night. They saw the same stars. It wasn't until 185 B.C. that we saw what we call the supernova. That's when stars burn out, fall. So up until that point, Isaiah's saying, hey, you know what? Them same stars are there. And God made them. God created them. God is sustaining them because they're always there. Mm-hmm. And what he's really saying is that if you do this about these things, mm-hmm. what about you who are wonderfully, uniquely made? He's setting you up. He's saying God created everything. And if God created everything, he's in control of everything. Are you going to create something that you can't control? That's Frankensteinish. Whatever God creates, he controls. And he controls those stars. And he knows them. And they're in line. They're orderly. They're ready for inspection every day. You don't ever see a star acting like he ain't supposed to be doing. You say, well, personally, what about those streaking stars? God done gave him some orders. He done dispatched them. When the commander say break formation, you break formation. But until then, you stand. Stand where you are. God knows. If he could do all of this. Now that right there, see, that's what bothers me with folk who, first of all, say there is no God. Well, we know they're a fool. But then they say there is a God, but they don't believe that he did all that he said he's going to do. Well, then he ain't God. He told us he created everything. Why would you go try to mastermind something else when God tells you that he created everything? If he created everything, including me, he created. I can't be talking about, oh, no, what happened? He threw some amoebas in the sea. And those amoebas got up one day on their own accord, and they just congregated, and they started walking toward the beach. And as they walked toward the beach, they grew a little bit better, and they grew a little this, and they changed. If you can believe that, it takes more faith to believe that than to believe that God created everything. Because your scientific mind won't let you, it shouldn't let you, although apparently... But you got to be crazy to believe that stuff. But I believe that God made everything because he's great. He can do anything. Now, he made everything. He has sustaining power. He's sovereign over the earth. But he's also sovereign over us. Come here, verse 27. Y'all read for me. Verse 26, I told you, if you got that, you know who God is. But if you get verse 27, you know who you are. Because here it is. They're in trouble. They're in trouble. You know what they do? They get pitiful. God has not called us to have pity parties just because there's some impossibilities. And here's what we say. I don't know why the Lord has put all this on me. Oh, Lord, if I just knew where you were, what you're trying to do. Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but whatever you're doing, oh, Lord, please think about me because your ways are hid from me. The last time I checked, all of y'all got B-I-B-L-E's. And if you got a B-I-B-L-E, the ways of the Lord are very evident to you. So just because you're going through don't mean, let me tell you something. This is alert straight from heaven. Maybe you're going through something so you can learn something. Come on. If nobody ever had any trouble, come on, sis. Sister Point. If nobody had any trouble, how would you ever deal with if they did? Some of the things that some of y'all have gone through, they were precursors for what I was going to go through. It's so they were able to talk to me and say, hey, T, you don't feel this. In these days, you're going to feel that. But you know what? God. You know what I'm saying? You don't do it like this, but sorry. Yeah, and a whole bunch of, and you know what, folks? As I said yesterday, we got to start talking to each other. Because it doesn't do any good for you to have tests and no testimonies. Because let me tell you something. You're going to have the test. You're going, in this life, the word is clear. You will have trials and tribulations. And I tell you what, the longer you live, the more the trial. You think, oh, I'll be glad when I get a certain age, all that's going to be over. I won't have to worry about that. Boy, how foolish. Terry, don't believe that. I'm telling you, Doc. I'm telling you. Because you know what? What the hell? I remember not so long ago, just a few days ago, I was your age, man. And I'm telling you, I ain't thought about some of this stuff. You know, and my brother Deacon met me in the hallway the other day, Brian, and they asked me, said, hey, man, I said, what you guys talking about? No matter of fact, it wasn't a deacon, it was the pastor. He said, what y'all talking about? And I said, well, we talking about something. He said, man, isn't it amazing? When you get into certain years, you know what guys talk about. Yeah, you don't be talking about no football. They be talking about their health. You know, they be talking, oh, Doc. Oh, my corns hurt. Oh, my back hurt, you know. Oh, hey. But God's got that. God, and I'm going to show you how he's got that. See, it ain't no, ooh, I don't want to get that. So I think I want to stay young. Hey, ain't no. Matter of fact, it's one time, y'all remember a few years ago, you know, I had this big, beautiful fro, you know. And one of my wife's best friend from home saw me after many years, and she said, oh, T, oh, you got all that green. The fro is gone. And I told her. Alabama girl, too, Nikita. I told her, it's a poor fruit that don't ripen. Fruit gonna ripen. You're gonna change. Your body's gonna go through something. And you know what? All that something ain't necessarily good either. All that something bring you some headaches, make you wet your pillow at night with your tears. But God. God is sovereign in all of this. And he's saying, don't have a pity party. Have passion and power. Oh, he's about to tell y'all. Did I tell you he's going to say that? Well, let's get that so we can get on out of here. He's, what? What does it say? Does anybody see, have you heard that scripture today? Didn't we hear it in 21? We heard it about creation, and now we're hearing it about you. Because he says, have you not heard? Your ears docked up? Are you stuck completely on stupid? And he says, I am the everlasting God. Now, let me tell you what that means. I told you if you had 26 down, you got it. But he reemphasized it here. He says, if you can believe that about the earth, that he created earth, that he keeps the earth, he keeps the stars in their sockets. He's saying, your little old problems, God can deal with it. Because have you not heard that he is the everlasting God? Elohim Olam. That means that God is eternal. In other words, God's saying, before you ever had a problem, I am. God says, I'm the everlasting God. Because when nothing existed, I was. I am. God says, there's never a time when I didn't exist. So just because you're going through your little pity party, just because you're having your little tantrum, just because you're having your little spiritual setback, just because you're having some physical difficulties, just because you're having some social dysfunctions, I'm still God.
Yes, right. Yes, yes.
Do you remember your grandmother? She had some issues.
Yes, she did.
I was there. You watched it. You watched her get up after arthritis, before they had all this good medicine that got people feeling good, you know, and go out in the field and pray and then come back and say, what you got in that jar? The Lord done told me to take a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Now, mama, you better stay out that jar. That stuff ain't gonna heal you. Next day. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. He's saying, I'm God. I'm the same God of your grandmother. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know what I've taken them through? You ain't got no problem that God can't handle. I'm going to say it definitively. You and I don't have problems, and we got some problems. Yes, as a matter of fact, y'all saw last week. You know, we can start, you know, you come up here, you know, you think that, oh, Lord, you know, just pray for strength. Some days the Lord says, sit down. You tired. Okay? I got this. Oh, no, Lord, you don't understand. I got to be a church. You ain't got to be a get up. Go home. I ain't telling you what I heard. Tell you what I know. God is in charge. He's in charge of the earth, and he's in charge of us. He can take care of the earth's problems. Global warming, God can take care of it. Wait a minute. A God who set the sun here, the moon here, 1 degree closer, and the whole earth would burn up. 1 degree. All you got to do is move 1 degree. But yet it stays perfect all the time. So here you are. Oh, Lord. Oh, I got this chest pain, Lord. Oh, Lord, you know my heart. Yeah, I know your heart, but it ain't the heart I'm worrying about. The heart is desperately wicked. You know, man, it needs to be sick. But it ain't from your physical ailments. It's some of the other ailments. But I got this. But you're not learning the lesson. You know why? Because you keep doing the same old stupid stuff over and over and over again. I told you to put them ham hocks down, and now you can't even worship. Oh, Lord, I'm mad. Hey, Cecil, I'm sorry. Call security, Cecil. They're mad with me now, man. All right. My point is that have you not known that God is everlasting, that he's the creator, and that he fainteth not? And see, we have a lot of problems. I know some of y'all are big-time shot callers, you know, executives extraordinaire and all that sort of thing, you know. But God calls all the shots. And you work your poor fool self to death. Y'all wouldn't believe the amount of work I got to do. I'm supposed to be retiring. I got more work than I had all the 25 years I've been working. You know? But you know what? God don't get tired. He don't get weary. You and I get weary. We get weary, but God doesn't. God, so he's an ever-present. He's an ever-present God in the time of need. Verse 29 says, he giveth power to the what? And to them that, when you have worn your poor fool self down, God will give you power. God will give you strength. You don't even know where it comes from. You'll be saying, Lord, I was so tired. But man, I got that through. I made it. He says, even the what? In other words, just because you're young and got it going on now, even young folk get tired. God doesn't. And you would think that God would get tired of fooling with us. I mean, the kind of stuff that we got, Trace. You would think that. Man, God, you can't take no more. And you know what? Hey, people pray, Lord, I don't really want to bother with you. I know you got a lot on your plate. God, guess what? Are you kidding? God says, I do this stuff with one hand tied behind me. I don't even use both hands to take care of your little problems and the whole world's problems. He says, but the young men will utterly faint, get weary. They will utterly fall. But here's the hope. Okay, I told you last week, Those that wait on the Lord, it ain't sitting around pensively. Those who serve the Lord, those who are faithful to God, what will happen? Stop. Renew their strength. Wait a minute. I looked at that word. That renew there? That ain't, you know, a lot of people would think replenish. You remember he says that he would give strength when there is no strength? Because what happens here in verse 31, he explains to us what happens. You're weary. You're beat down. You done cried all night long. Your body is racked with pain. Here's what God does. You're totally weak. God comes in, takes your weakened condition, and he exchanges it for his powerful. So I ain't got to worry about being weak, because anytime I can go and make an exchange if I'm willing to wait on the Lord, if I'm willing to be faithful to God. He will come and exchange my weakened condition for his very powerful condition. Oh, I'm going to wait on the Lord, y'all. Because you know what? That same God that made me will sustain me. And he sustains me by renewing my strength. Because he knows I'm going to get weak. He said, but don't worry about it. I got something in it. I got something right over here. I got something for you. Oh, Sneed, you're going to get tired over there. That's all right. Come here. Give me your little bit, and I'll give you my much. And the what? They shall. In other words, for your most serious problem. Y'all hear this. I got to get y'all out of here. I got to get this choir out of here. For your most serious problems, I'll let you fly like an eagle. I'll let you mount up. For your desperate. I mean, it's serious. He says, I'll give you a gear to fly. I'll let you soar. You know, in your most difficult time to escape that most difficult thing in your life. Yes. But then he says, what? And what? He shall, they shall what? Some of the things down here, all you got to do is do a little running. You don't need to fly away. You just need to run from it. He says, I'll give you the strength to run. I'll give you a running gear. I'll give you a flying gear, and I'll give you a running gear. He said, but some of those, you just walk. He said, but even to walk, you need my grace. You need a walking gear, a running gear, and a flying gear. That's how I sustain you. Whenever I want to deal with one of your problems, I just realize you need to shift into another gear. You've been walking from this thing. You need to run. You've been running from this thing. You need to fly. You need to jettison yourself. And he says, I got the grace to give you all of that. Because I am your creator, and I am your sustainer. And because I'm that, you ain't got nothing to worry about. You can have comfort.